The reason you're busy but still broke isn't because you're not working hard enough. It's because you're working on too many things. In other words, you're busy but in the wrong ways. Back when I was running my first company, I was working all the hours that I was awake, but I couldn't get past $3 million a year. And it wasn't until I learned how to apply my effort deliberately that everything changed. In this video, I'll show you why you feel so busy, why this is keeping you broke, and most of all, how to allocate your effort into the best opportunity vehicle so you can turn your busyness into business. Number one, why you feel so busy. So I'll give you a biological example and a social example. So a biological example, let's say that you've got a magnifying glass and you want to burn a hole through a piece of paper, right? You've got this piece of paper here and you want to burn a hole through it. If you don't get the magnifying glass at the right distance, you're just going to have a circle like this, but it's not concentrated enough in order to burn through. You have to get that sweet spot so that you can get that tiny little hole and then all of a sudden it breaks through. But that's only when you can concentrate the light. To the same degree, let's say that you want to start a party on a Friday night. But instead of starting one party, you say, hey, I want to have four parties on a Friday night. Now, if that were what you were going to do, you might be like, man, none of my parties worked out. But it would be obvious to you now when you thought, like, why didn't my parties work out? It's because you never got enough critical mass. Because if you combined all of the people and all the people you're going to invite at one party, that party would then take off and then become a party in of itself. And so this idea is basically what you're spending all your time on. You only have a certain number of people in your network, only a certain number of people that you can potentially contact to leverage to do deals, to get your help from, to help work for you, all of those things, but you're trying to start four parties at once and wondering why none of them's working. And so the reason this happens is because entrepreneurs get reinforced the first time they quit something and change stuff up. And because you got into the game of business by quitting something in order to be here, and something worked. That's why you still keep doing it. But the problem is you got reinforced for starting two parties. Your first party was maybe your job. The second one was like, you know what, I'm going to stop this party and I'm going to start my own. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, that was awesome. I'm going to start more parties. Rather than realizing that just going from one to the other, this became a better vehicle, and starting parties on your own was the better vehicle rather than starting parties in general. What does this all mean, right? There's this really fancy term that people throw around in business, and they say strategy a lot. And I always like to ask people, what do you mean by strategy? And then they just make up a bunch of words because they have no idea and it just sounds good. Strategy is this. It's the prioritization of limited resources against unlimited options. It's how you choose what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. That's what strategy is. And so right now, if I say, hey, what's your list of priorities? If you say, okay, number one is, you know, I've got party one, party two, party three, party four, I can already tell you that you don't have priorities because you have more than one. And so when we get back to like, what is a priority? So priority, like if you actually break the word down, it comes from priority, which means that you can only have one first. That's how priority works. Now, in the 20th century, people started saying priorities, which then basically neutered the term altogether. But if you go to the root of what it was supposed to mean, it means this comes first. This is the most important. Right now, you're struggling to focus your resources on one party, focus all of the people you know, focus all of your promotional effort to get everyone to do one thing because you're trying to promote four. Because you're trying to have four parties, four priorities, and because of that, you have none that actually work. I'll tell you a fun example of this. So I had a really lovely lady, Kira, came to one of our events here at the headquarters. Single mom of five, had a publishing business, she had a TV show, she had an events business, and she had like a business coaching business for women. And she was doing pretty well, you know what I mean? A few million bucks a year. When I see an entrepreneur like that, I just think, man, you have, you know, three or four mediocre parties. What if you actually had all those people partying together? It'd be so much bigger, because then that word of mouth effect would snowball far bigger than what you had before. And that's why sometimes it feels so hard, because it's like when you're starting tiny parties, it's all manual effort. It's all brute force to get those first people there. But then after that, at a certain point, the word of mouth starts growing and it starts to become a thing. You start to develop a brand, you start to develop a reputation. But when you start four parties at once, it never gets there. How do I do that? The micro, people are like, okay, I need to be more productive. But let me give you the biggest productivity hack in the world. Do nothing besides the task that you set to accomplish. That's it. Anything that is not that sentence is not making you more productive. If it's not you doing the task, then you're not doing the task. People have come up with productivity as creative ways to procrastinate while not feeling guilty about not doing the work they know they should be doing. Focus means doing nothing besides that. that you're focusing on. Commitment is the elimination of alternatives. Deciding is decadere, means to cut off. And so if you're thinking about all these words, you're like, man, they almost all mean the same thing. Yes. So just because there's lots of words doesn't mean that the meaning is fundamentally different. It's just we have different cultures that meld into, you know, our word lexicon. But a lot of, you know, people will try and make each of these sound nuanced. It's the same thing. You need to cut off what you're not going to do, and then what remains becomes your priority. And so the most important decision is, what is that thing that remains? Because the people who move fastest in life don't actually move faster. They get more for every move. They have higher leverage. I want you to go through this process with me. Right now you have your priorities. I'm going to put this in little quotes here, all right? And let's say it's like, you know, increase, you know, ads is one of them. You know, the second one is like, you know, add new product, and then it's hire, you know, salesman, whatever. You've got these things that you want to do. Now, if I were to ask you of these things, if you just had 100% certainty that you could accomplish one of them 1 year from now, which of them would get you the furthest? Now, when you look at all these, you might be like, well, honestly, even if I were to crack the new ads, I still need a salesman. And the new product is, you know, important, but if I don't have a salesman to sell it, then I can't do anything. It's like, okay. So then everything you have comes down to getting this done. And so this is now your priority. You can ignore everything else, because until this happens, nothing else matters. Now, I gave two examples that were contingencies. What if there are things that you could do in parallel? Like, well, what if I start to develop an app so that by the time I have my salesman, then I'll have something to sell? Well, the problem with this is just in my experience, is that like the parties, there's limited resources. I find that people actually do things faster chronologically or linearly than in parallel, especially when it's when you're focusing all the resources of a company on one specific point. Because if you know that you can only do one thing with all of your resources, guess what? You get it done faster because you have so many other things you have to do. Because every single person feels like they're holding the entire company back, which they are. But what happens when you pursue multiple things is that no one feels like they're holding the entire company back, and then nothing gets done. And so this is why you feel so busy. You're trying to host all these parties at the same time. So let me explain why it's actually keeping you broke. What you have to realize is the real cost of change. So let's say that this line represents your normal revenue in the business, okay? If you do a change in the business, then you're almost always going to incur the cost of change, right? The business is going to go down. My estimate is that whenever we do something new, we lose 20% right off the bat before we get to realize any potential, not guaranteed, upside from that change. And so what's interesting though is that many entrepreneurs hear this and think, okay, well, I'm willing to risk this 20% decrease because maybe I'll get a 10% increase on whatever, you know, on the other side of this. It's like, yeah, but for you to get, do you want to have a guaranteed 20 for a potential of 10? It's not a trade I would make. And so what ends up happening is that you end up realizing that the vast majority of tests you just shouldn't do. It's like, it might work and who cares? It's not going to change the business. It's not the constraint, right? Like, maybe we have some little CRO hack we could do. Sure. Is it the thing that's stopping you from getting the 3 to 10 million? Probably not. And so what happens is these are just productive distractions. If you're trying to optimize your way to a 10X, you've got it wrong. You're focused on the wrong thing. After the 20%, then it means that number one, if you're gonna take a shot, it's gotta get you at least 20% plus as your upside, because you might not even get it. And so for me, this is my rule of thumb. I need at least a 20 on the top side so that I'm willing to take a guaranteed 20 on the downside. Now, number two is, let me show you what it looks like in reality. There's two scenarios. Scenario one is that, okay, maybe the thing that we have starts to work, right? So our performance starts to go up. But then right around here, we're like, you know what? Let's do another change. And so we have these changes that could work, but we're always mid another change. And so actually our performance is more here versus what it would be if we just changed nothing. Now, that's if this is under the assumption that all the changes you have are going to improve the business. But what if you're changing things and some of the changes you make actually make the business worse? And so this is when I see these people who are stuck at $1 million a year, $3 million a year, $10 million a year, and they've been stuck there for multiple years in a row. It's typically because they're changing too many things and because they're working on the wrong thing, right? And because they're changing so many things, they never have the bandwidth. They're starting too many parties at once to just focus on the one party that if they can crush it, they can get on the front page of the news, right? And so I had a business that came out here, really awesome lady. and she had been stuck for a while, right? And so she was starting too many new things. Basically, she was always running new marketing promotions and starting new conversion mechanisms because that was the thing that she loved the most as an entrepreneur. She just loved selling, right? And so she always wanted to innovate the sales process, but like the sales wasn't the constraint of the business. She's really good at sales. And so despite it being the thing that she enjoyed, it had nothing to do with the thing that was limiting the business. And when I talked about the thing that were clearly limiting the business, I could see her energy deflate because she was just like, I'm not good at that. I have it outsourced. And I was like, yeah, it shows. And I was like, said differently. I was like, imagine you, and she was like, I pay this person $3,000 a month to manage my organic, right? I was like, okay, imagine you paid someone $3,000 a month to handle all of the pitching, because she does pitches like one to many. I said, do you think that it would work? And she was like, God, no. And I was like, right. There are people who are as good at you at making content as you are as at pitching, and you need to be that good at also marketing on the front end. And so the issue was that she never had the bandwidth to even do this because every single month or two, she was changing the conversion process, right? Thinking that this is the thing that was limiting the business. But the reality is she converted about the same amount every time. And she just had to keep working harder and harder because she was getting fewer leads. And so she was getting better and better, but she was focused on the wrong part of the funnel. She was trying to say how, like the thing is you can only convert 100%. You can't get past 100 and you're never going to hit 100. And so the problem is we need to just get more people in the bucket, right? And so for her, every time she did this, she would have to, her team would have to relearn new systems. Her customers might get confused about her positioning because it was a whole new wrapper around her sales process and even her product itself. She would start losing momentum because she had these constant changes that were happening. And so I'll tell you, for me, when I look at all of this stuff, and this is what I was talking to her, I said, you just have to accept that some stuff is good enough because it's not the constraint. And this is counter to the perfectionist culture of like, everything has to be perfect. First off, nothing is going to be perfect. And I love Jack Dorsey said this. He said, make the details perfect, limit the number of details. Getting this conversion process perfect, the thing that was going to unlock the business? No, it's not. You either have to have a product that's so good that people talk about it endlessly, and then that's what grows the business, or you have to have marketing that's so good that you let everybody know about your stuff. And many people obsess about the stuff in the middle. But on either ends, that's where the highest leverage exists. So what does this mean in practice? If the metrics that you have for the thing that you love are above or at your industry benchmark, leave it alone. It's not the thing that's limiting your business, because you need to free up all that bandwidth so that you can actually learn the new skills or focus on the thing that really is limiting your business, which is probably the thing you suck at and you don't like doing and you outsource. This is the cruel reality of small business, is that small business owners tend to have the most ideas of things they can do, but small businesses in general have the lowest capacity to pursue new ideas. You are so resource constrained. Like, you have so little time and so little effort and so few people and capital that you can actually do anything, especially if you want to do it right. The best hope you can possibly have if you really want to compete is to just do one thing well. I'll give you an example of one of my favorite chains, which is Raising Cane's. And if you want to really study business, like, study Raising Cane's. The owner owns all of them. He has no franchisees. He owns them all. The guy's a billionaire, and he's not old. I think he's in his 40s. He's a savage. And part of the reason that chain has been so successful is because he was so militant about the few things that they were going to do well. It's like, we've got our fries, we've got Texas toast, we've got coleslaw, we've got tenders. And they've got sauces and beverages. That's it. And if you want to have a sandwich, they just take the tenders and they put it between two pieces of Texas toast, right? Like, they just take those few ingredients because they're like, if we just nail this, we don't need to do anything else. And I really want to hit on this really hard. If you can think to yourself, if all I did was this, nothing else would matter, then why are you letting anything else matter? And the tough part is that many of your ideas are probably good. It's just that they will fail because of a lack of execution, not because of a lack of quality ideas. And they will all fail if you try and execute all of them. Yes, including the one that you love that you're thinking about right now as I'm saying this and you're thinking, oh, I wonder if he's talking about that. Yes, I'm talking about that. And so I'll give you a couple examples for me personally. Even at a micro level within a business, I had a shorts editor who was a good editor, and then we had him focused on two different platforms, and both platforms suffered. When we focused him on just one platform, all of a sudden, the views from that one platform got more than the views from both platforms that when he was working on them split. Think about how wild that is. He was able to get one, which he had already been working on, to do more than both together when he just focused on one. You know, every month we invite entrepreneurs out here to the headquarters who are doing big things, and that way we can meet more businesses. When we have these events, my team always thinks about things that we could do better. We made this rule where we said, hey, what if we do nothing new? Zero new things. Just execute all the things that we know that make an event good. Nothing else. And we did that, and then 4 times in a row, we had the best NPS, best everything score from the event. And I was like, right, every time we change things, our NPS goes down. Don't change anything. Everyone loves it the way it is. The thing is that you will get tired of your business before your customers even know anything about it. Because remember, they have zero context. You might think, oh man, we did this one thing that one time, and we didn't do it this time. No one knows. No one knows. And so hopefully now you understand how changing everything is limiting your ability to win. And so the question then is, okay, you know, following my own rules, don't just say stop doing this, say do this instead. So here's what to do instead. So now number three is how to allocate your effort into the best opportunity vehicles. Have patience. Now that sounds super lame. So let me tell you what that actually means. So patience is just figuring out what to do in the meantime. And so I'll tell you, for me personally, I make a big list of ideas. And it is out, like, just name it something ridiculous so that you can remind yourself how ridiculous you are for always having these ideas. I have this mondo, and I'm talking like I probably have 200 plus items of ideas that I have of things that can make money or would be improvements to our existing business or process. So this is actually my list. So I have, you know, AI stuff we can do, traffic stuff we can do, conversion rate stuff we can do, LTV stuff we can do. These are all tests that we can consider. These are ascension ideas. These are renewal ideas. And these are just the, like, and I see them and I'm like, man, these are such good ideas. And right now, we're not doing any of them. And the last time I grabbed something from that list, you guys want to know what it was? In 18 months, I've grabbed 3 things from that list. Just, and I probably have more resources, capital, and talent than the vast majority of businesses have. And I say this to demonstrate how incredibly hard it is. And what's really crazy, and this is nuts, you will feel so much relief because you will realize that much of your anxiety and your stress comes from this list that you have created for yourself that you have not done. And so all you do is you basically take your entire to-do list and say, this is no longer my to-do list anymore. I'm just going to take the things we're already doing and we're going to do them well. And I promise you, you will make more money and that will depress you, because you will realize that the biggest problem in your business is lack of execution, not lack of new ideas. This is a lesson that has taken me way too long to learn. And I'm trying to pass it on to you now. And most of you don't have the discipline to be able to do it. But the few of you who do, will honestly, it will depress you by how simple it can be. It doesn't mean it's easy, because you will have to fight your internal nature every day. Like Warren Buffett has this example where he says, if you only had a punch card that had 20 punches on it, for the stocks you could buy for the rest of your life, and once you used up those 20, you can never use them again, you'd be a significantly better investor. So if you were an entrepreneur and you only got one punch per year of something that you were going to optimize towards, just one, you would look real hard at that list and you'd be like, okay, which of these one things, if I only did this, would get us the most? And what happens is that when you put that kind of constraint on, you do end up realizing that, well, you know what, if we did solve this one thing, it would basically change everything for us. Right, then why are we wasting our time with these bullshit, not hard side quests? So if you'd like our help to identify the highest leverage point, you can go to acq.com/Vegas. We hold an event every month. We'd love to meet you in person and have you out. And if you do those things, I think that you will have a phenomenally more profitable business. And most of all, how to allocate your effort into the best opportunity vehicle so you can achieve critical mass and finally turn your busyness into business.